What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. We've got three of us back at least. Eddie, Jerry, me. We got Fleegs and CeeLo in for Al and, well, Boomer, kind of, Jerry, you know what I mean. But three of us are back from California and Pebble Beach, and of course, we couldn't enjoy the fruits of the winning that the Mets and Yankees had a couple of nights ago, but instead, rain delay and bad losses. Good morning, Jerry, how are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, a little cross-country travel yesterday, and thanks to some delays, I got home, and because of the time difference, too, I was not ready to go to sleep when I got home last night. So I pop on Amazon Prime. I'm watching the Yankee game. All's good. The Mets are winning 6-0. I turn it on. I literally went to them, and they were, I guess they had just gotten the double to make it 6-0. I'm like, all right, I'll go back to the Yankee game. All's good. And I fell asleep, I would say, I guess it was the top of the sixth inning because they had taken Schlittler out of the game at that point to start the sixth, and I fell asleep. And I woke up this morning, and my first thought was, you know what? Sure, we got some stories to tell. We had a great weekend, no question about it. All good. But we got some winning baseball. And then I went to the Google just to make sure the teams won. And, all right, the Yankees lost 4-1. They weren't hitting the ball. I wasn't stunned by that. When I saw Atlanta 11.
Yeah.
And the Mets 6, I almost fell down.
Yeah, a similar situation because my body was all confused as to where I was. And, you know, I'm sleeping in the car ride to the airport. I'm sleeping on the plane. Then I get back and I have energy. And then all of a sudden I don't. So then I'm asleep from like 6 to 7:30. Then I'm awake again. So then I'm trying to go to sleep around 9 o'clock. And then, you know, I'm just keep waking up and rolling over and thinking about work and everything else. And had the same similar thing. I mean, I look over and I see a 9-run inning, and I'm like, my God. And then I'm like, I don't even want to know right now because I want to try to go to sleep, and I'll figure it out in the morning. And just watching through it this morning and seeing David Peterson struggle in the way that he did is just, I mean, you know, it is alarming. And I know that with all the baseball adages about, oh, just get hot at the right time and this and that, and it's a long season, all this crap that we hear all the time. I mean, but last night specifically, when you have trust in certain guys in the rotation, all of a sudden he completely falls apart.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is not, he's not a rookie any longer. He's been around. He's made a lot of starts. He's not a 40-year-old veteran, but he's someone who should be able to handle a rain delay and does, at least for the beginning of the game. But to not be able to throw a strike, have the ability to throw a strike, and then lose his entire command off a night where everybody's celebrating and a 6-run lead, where you're thinking this might be the catalyst. I mean, that was one of the most disappointing moments for me. Maybe it's because we're having so much fun and I came back to this crap. But honestly, him falling apart after the big win, after Alonso's 6-run lead, was one of the more, I'm not going to say most, one of the more disappointing moments of the season for me because of when it happened and how it happened.
And so bizarre that they, you know, you've got Gelbs and Ron Darling on the field. You've got Keith and Gary in the booth, and they're opening that inning. And for a good portion of it, they're talking about the Met pitching troubles and the fact that they don't throw first pitch strikes and they walk too many guys. And that's the inning that David Peterson decides not to be able to throw a strike. And he's one of the guys that, you know, we talked about him, you know, after last year going into this season. Like, to me, he, forget Kodai Senga, because to me, Senga just doesn't pitch enough. Like, I looked at David Peterson as the ace of the staff. I really do. But last night was, if there's one guy you expect to give you 6-7 innings, or at least hope can give you 6-7 innings on a team, where if a starter goes 5, we're celebrating, like, you know, it's Sandy Koufax back in the day, is David Peterson. And to be given that lead, the moment, how many times so far this season have we said that Citi Field is alive? It feels different. The night they had the night before, we were watching it in California. They had it on at the restaurant we were at, and it was awesome. And the Alonso home run, and they're celebrating it. And then to come back and to shell Carrasco like they did, the Soto home run, you know, what's his name? Alonso starts it with the hit with runners in scoring position, bases loaded. Everything was set up to be, all right, we're turning the corner here. We're going to beat down the Braves a little bit. And then to get beat down like they did, you can't, there's not even words for it.
Yeah. I mean, and it is, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but last year, and people tend to forget, but last year when the Mets were going really well, people weren't showing up to the games. And the Mets were talking about it. Steve Cohen was talking about it. I remember specifically Brandon Nimmo was talking about it. We need you guys here. We're in a pennant race. And, of course, everybody showed up, and they go on this amazing run. This year, the fans are there, and the team's not. Uh-huh. I mean, and I understand they've played much better at Citi Field than they have on the road. I mean,
not recently.
But yeah, overall in the course of the season, but you're right, not recently. I haven't played well anywhere recently. But, I mean, this just these large losing streaks, like 12 out of 14, and then 7 out of 9, and all this stuff. It's just, it's so disconcerting. And, you know, bad, we always talk about the bad football around here, and I feel like one of the things that we'd always say is, you know, when the defense has a good game, well, then the offense doesn't have a good game, and then the offense doesn't have a good defense have a good game. But with the Mets, I mean, it's been two different seasons in the sense of when they were going really well, the pitching lab was the greatest thing in the world, yeah. And they couldn't hit, but they were still winning games. And now they're starting to hit the baseball again, and the starting pitching's as atrocious as you could possibly have for a team that's in a playoff spot with a payroll where they have a payroll.
No doubt.
And I didn't hear it, but a listener sent it to me on X. I'll hat tip to a Joe Beningo line where he said, "The pitching lab is starting to look like the lab in Wuhan, China," which I thought was a good line. But it's gross. That the starting pitching for a team that currently has a playoff spot is as bad as any team that's got a winning record that maybe I've ever seen in my life.
Well, they're one of the worst right now. I think it's one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball.
It's got to be
like ERA.
Who could be worse?
I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe Chicago, maybe Colorado, but beyond that, I mean, you find me a team that walks more batters.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's brutal. And for Reed Garrett to come in, and David Peterson gets all the blame for sure, you got to give up the home run. Like, you got to give up the grand. I mean, come on. It's a Michael Harris.
Yeah.
Everything, top to bottom, pitching-wise, is a disaster with this team right now.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you hear these decisions. You should have gone here. You should have gone there. You know, I'm hearing a guy driving in who wants Paul Blackburn to be the first guy out of the bullpen as opposed to Reed Garrett. You hadn't seen Blackburn in forever. And then you hear all the Yankee fans complaining about Boone and, you know, should it be De Los Santos? Should it be Weaver? Should it be that? I mean, at this point, for the Mets at least, I mean, I barely trust anybody.
I agree with that.
With a baseball in their hand, mm-hmm, on the mound.
Yeah.
And it's really up to the players. It's up to these guys. You know, it's up to the stuff that happens, I think, away from the games to figure this out that's more important. So then when you have somebody coming out of the bullpen, like, think about it. We weren't talking about managerial decisions in the beginning of the year when everybody was pitching well in the starting rotation and the guys in the bullpen were doing their job, too. It didn't matter. Nobody was like, oh, Carlos Mendoza brought in the wrong guy. It never happened because everybody, at least 90% of the guys that were on the mound, you had trust in, and now 100% of the guys who take the mound, you don't.
None. Absolutely none. And you're right. I mean, you know, obviously the Yankees are a different story, but, you know, if you're going to complain about the decision last night, well, you know, now I would have been one. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I would have been one going back and watching I picked it up this morning in the sixth inning. You know, I went back, I watched the fifth inning. I'm probably one that keeps the starter in. And I understand the whole point of, well, you don't want to go through the order again. Okay, well, the first batter that saw, the first pitcher that saw Buxton gives up the hit. Now, Volpe almost made a great play. And again, another play where a really good first baseman picks that ball. He might have been safe anyway, but you get the point. I'm just not so quick to just bring these other guys in because you don't know what you're getting. Schlittler was doing a nice job last night. Point is, you're right. Whether it's this guy, that guy, this guy, if they don't do their job, the manager's an idiot. They do their job, then they did their job. And by the way, the other part of that, too, is you mentioned the pitching lab. Boy, all we heard about was Jeremy Hefner earlier in the season. Now, not so much anymore.
Yeah, and last year, he deserved all the credit. And David Stearns
and everybody there in the front office deserve the credit. Beginning of this year, they deserve the credit, and there were heaps of praise on the Mets and what they were doing, and they were doing it again and getting these scrap heap guys and figuring it out. And now what you have is not just like a step back. I mean, it's one giant leap for the Mets in their pitching lab. I mean, think about it. I mean, Montas, total disaster. Yep. Clay Holmes falling off the face of the earth. You've had injuries to other guys. Kodai Senga, unless everything is absolutely perfect, can't be a good pitcher. I mean, it's amazing. Unless he's completely healthy, feels 100% perfect, it's the right amount of rest, then you might get a good outing out of him. Otherwise, he'll go 3 1/3. It'll be 4 earned runs. He'll come out and say, you know, I just didn't feel like myself. Which reminds me, almost not as bad as that Jacob deGrom before his contract.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, he would get pulled out of games. We would worry about injuries. It's not like that with Senga, but it's almost like everything's got to be completely perfect for him to perform. So, you know, basically where you're at now is just trusting the unknown and knowing that we can't predict the future. That's, if you're a Mets fan who thinks that this team still has an opportunity to win in the postseason and bring home the first World Series championship since 1986, which is what we were expecting they'd be competing for at the beginning of the season, what you're trusting is that you can't predict the future and stuff happens and teams just turn around for no reason. Because the data that they have given us up until this point says that they suck and they're not going anywhere.
Well, the way both teams have played the last couple of months, think about where these two teams came from. So the Yankees had, what was it, a 6.5 game lead, 7.5 game lead atop the AL East. They're far below that now and obviously not in first place anymore and haven't been in a while. The Mets were 20-something games over 500 and right now fighting with the Reds for the final wild card spot in the National League. And I'm with you. They suck right now. The Yankees, now I know they won 2 out of 3 for Minnesota. I get it. They're off to St. Louis this weekend. That said, not great. Like I have zero confidence in either team right now. Now, I also wouldn't be shocked if both teams went on 7-game winning streaks, but you gotta show it to us first. Capable of it, yes, but it has just been an utter disaster pretty much since Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, where does it stop?
I don't know.
With the Mets starting pitching. Like, that is, if David Peterson, who is the most trustworthy guy in the rotation, can have the meltdown that he had last night with all the momentum in the world.
Yep.
That's the most momentum that this franchise has had in a good 2 months, coming off that big win against Atlanta and the Alonso celebration and then being up 6-0, you know, after the first 2 innings last night. And to blow that up himself, I mean, I just don't know where it ends.
And it's also the way it gets blown up. I mean, walking all the guys, you're walking the bases loaded. I know there was a base hit mixed in, but like the walks are just you're killing yourself.
I mean, he lost his, I mean, you don't want to say like yips or anything, it wasn't that bad, but like he lost his arm slot or whatever. He couldn't figure it out. He couldn't get back on track. You know, and then you got Senga pitching today. Tonight, rather, it's tonight, right? Not today. It's not a getaway game. It's tonight.
I thought it was 7:10.
7:10. It is tonight. Right. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, tonight. So you got him pitching, but like what? What's your expectation?
Tooth extraction.
Right. I mean, but like honestly, gonna walk some guys. Probably gonna have like 90 pitches after 3 1/3. Yeah. And have to come out of the game, and then you get, you know, slop fest USA again, trotting out of the bullpen.
You might.
I mean, like that's what you expect.
That is what I'm not saying he's not a good pitcher. He is, but he has a million pitches to get through 5 innings. And it is a tooth extraction. I mean, people, there are those out there that say injuries are coming from the pitch clock. Nonsense. The pitch clock has helped baseball give you some sort of rhythm. Could you imagine if there was we go back to no pitch clock and this guy's on the mound? Oh my God. He's tough to watch. He's just tough to watch. It's, I guess if you're going 5 innings, you're not giving up any runs, I guess, but he hasn't been that either. So what do I expect tonight? To be honest, I expect the Braves to go out and win the series. That's what I expect.
Really? Yeah, I know.
Sadly.
I mean, yeah, and they're so bad.
I know they are.
They're just so bad.
They got a guy. What's his name, Mike? Nacho Alvarez? What the hell's his name?
Nacho Alvarez Jr.
What the hell?
Junior.
What is a Nacho Alvarez? Like, I'm watching the game. I'm at a loss for words because the talent that these two teams have, and I know the Yankees are beat up, I understand that. And I know Judge is coming back from the injury, so it takes him some time to get going. I understand that too. But when I see a team that's got Cody Bellinger, when I see a team that's got Trent Grisham hitting big home runs like he hit the other night, when I see Judge, Stanton having really a really good season since he's come back from injury and got his season underway. When I see Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, once this should not be happening at the clip it's happening.
Yeah, and I think that's what, if you're holding on to hope, that's what you're holding on to, is there's so many good players and we've seen it happen before. And there, I mean, there is still a lot of time. You could, you know, you you see teams that have a horrible month that followed up by a month where it seems like they can't lose. But the point is that there's nothing pointing to that turnaround other than the fact that we can't predict the future.
I agree with that, because look what happened to the Dodgers. Like, would anybody have thought that the Dodgers would have fallen off the way that they have and that they wouldn't be in first place right now, and that the Padres would have leapfrogged them? Early on, the Giants looked like a really good team. Now they're very average at best. What's gone on with the Cubs? The Reds are almost in playoff position. Like, when the Tigers, who were running away with Major League Baseball and into the where everybody thought, you know, a month ago, the Tigers were pretty much your World Series team in the American League, a 12-13-game lead. You look up now, and here comes Cleveland, who had a 12-game losing streak. And now they don't lose. The Brewers are whatever it is, 30, 40 games. It has been wacky. And you can figure it out, and I agree with exactly what you just said. Until they play the games, we have you can't predict anything in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the only thing that really would be something you could point to, if you're like, oh, this team will turn around because so-and-so's coming back from injury, or once they get this guy back, that guy back. I mean, neither team really has that guy in the wings that you're waiting to come back. So, it's a situation of blind faith right now. I mean, that's what it is. It's a situation of blind faith and hope. And I know there's, you know, you could look at all the numbers you want and you're, oh man, you know, things will turn around because of the hard hit rate or whatever the hell else or this or that. There is nothing about this Mets starting pitching anywhere deep in any sort of number that's going to make you feel like they're going to figure it out other than them just doing it.
Exactly.
So just start with Kodai Senga tonight and then let's start moving in the right direction. Maybe they start feeding off each other. I don't know. But it is as bad as I've ever seen in a team. Like, we've seen some horrible baseball around here, some horrible Mets teams. The starting pitching on this team that still has a playoff spot with this type of payroll, with this type of expectation, is the worst I've seen in that bubble.
Sure.
They're not supposed to be this bad right now.
And when you look at the way they've put the pitching together, when it works, you laud them like, wow. Because I don't love paying pitchers $40 million a year when they pitch every fifth day and usually have a stint on the IL at some point in the season. But when it looks like this, you go back to, is this really what they're going to go into the season with? And it has looked like that the last 2 months.
And we trusted them last year and going into this year. Well, I shouldn't say we
learned.
We earned the trust.
Correct.
Last year, and then going into this year, I said, I'm not going to complain about what the rotation looks like on paper.
And it started great.
And now it's as bad, it's bottom of the barrel.
Crab Central.
Yes, Crab Central spot.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Jerry in for Boomer this morning. Boomer's in Utah somewhere. Al is back in New Jersey. They will be back, I think. Are we all together for a couple of days next week?
I think all next week.
Oh, you're gone.
You're gone? Only Monday.
You sure?
I have to be. Okay. I got this tournament I'm helping to do.
Oh, that's right. What time are we? What's the?
I will double check. I believe it is a 1 p.m. shotgun.
Okay.
11:30 arrival for food.
Yeah, yep. So just get around there, but, you know, get there by 10:15. Just stand around for a couple of hours in the heat.
Who's that?
That was the Willie Colon outing.
Oh,
yeah.
11:30 lunch. Yes. Yes. 1 o'clock shotguns.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Up to do, and I've got, you know, so.
Yeah. No, I totally understand.
But next Tuesday I'll be here, and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Labor Day.
Okay.
Week of Labor Day.
You're not worried? Actual Labor Day?
I think I am, yeah. Ooh. I'm not sure. I got to see.
All right.
Gotta work it all out.
What's going on, CeeLo?
Hi.
With the WFAN stuff. Is everything going okay?
I don't know.
I just want to know what's going on.
He wants to know
here.
If there's any rumors, whispers. Was anything good going on?
I don't know about rumors or whispers, but I'll get into it a little bit later on and maybe get in trouble for bringing it up. I guess there's some sort of thing going on between the 7 line and BT and Sal. So
okay.
We'll get into that a little bit later on.
Are they going back and forth at each other publicly?
I don't know about back. I got to get a little bit more educated on this, but I guess they, in light of the Pete Alonso franchise record the other night, they brought up something from, I don't know, a year or two ago, and Sal was talking about the toxic Mets locker room, and they're claiming they never said that Alonso was toxic, and then they produced video where Sal says something along those lines.
Yeah.
A little bit of a back, maybe not back and forth, but there's some question as to who's in the right, who's in the wrong there.
Okay. You know? Interesting stuff. Unfortunately, we have to hear some bad highlights again.
Yeah, I feel like, again.
You know, the last show I did, I believe, was a Wednesday, a week from Wednesday.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we were doing every single goddamn day.
Yeah, you had enough at that point.
Throwing to the update and hearing losing baseball highlights.
That's right.
I leave. I have a wonderful time. My wife's birthday. We go up to Mohegan Sun, see Jordan Davis, go out to Pebble Beach, have the time of our lives out there. Wonderful, wonderful deal there with Scratch, and then come back and I'm throwing the update and more miserable baseball highlights.
That's correct.
Now, I mean, I love this job more than anything. I could never do anything else other than this job. So I don't want it to come across as complaining about doing this job. It's complaining about these teams. Right. I want them to win. I want us to be happier. Same thing with the football teams. It's just wears on you after a while.
Sure. Yeah, you missed it yesterday. It was the first morning we were able to talk about both teams winning on the same day or night since the trade deadline.
Yep.
It lasted one day.
All right, let's hear it.
4 days, is right. 4 days before the trade deadline. So it was even longer than that, you know?
Yes, unfortunately we do.
You know what I'm saying? All right, sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball, trademarks used with permission. So yeah, Mets led the Braves 6-0 after two innings last night, and even that lengthy rain delay at the start seemed to do nothing to damper the vibes from the night before with the Alonso home run record and everything. But by the end of the fourth inning, the wheels had completely come off.
The 1-1 pitch cracked in the sky to center field and deep. Mullins is back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. He leaps, and this ball is gone. Unbelievable. A grand slam home run by Michael Harris.
Freed Garrett, who came on in relief of David Peterson after he had completely lost the strike zone. That was Keith Rad with the call on Odyssey Mets Radio as Atlanta capped a 9-run fourth-inning rally to seize control of the game on their way to an 11-6 victory, meaning the offense was shut out for the final 7 innings of this one. That top of the fourth, though, we'll go sequence here. Walk, single, strikeout, walk, bases loaded, walk, 2-run double, walk, Peterson out, Garrett in, RBI single, strikeout, another walk, and then the Harris grand slam
run
that we just heard. Yeah, here was a bewildered Carlos Mendoza on what the hell happened to Peterson.
The walks, you know, especially when you're walking the bottom of the lineup, you know, 8-hole, 9-hole. The inning started with 4 straight balls there, you know.
Called the guy an 6,
and he just kind of lost strike zone, especially arm side.
Is that Nacho?
Yeah, I heard the same thing when I heard that clip. A-hole, yeah, Nacho, that a-hole Nacho. Yeah, so the Braves made him pay, and Garrett as well. Now, from Peterson's perspective, a lot of the same, but sounds like maybe he already wasn't feeling all that great despite getting through the first 3 innings unscathed.
But I think it was, you know, getting behind guys and the walks. All right, I think, you know, I was a little out of sync with my mechanics and wasn't able to dial it back in.
Yeah, they came undone in that fourth inning. And overall, starting rotation has come crashing back down to earth for weeks now. Peterson was the one saving grace, but not on this night.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. You know, we're not holding up our end and we need to do better. And, you know, I think that starts with analyzing the performance and then turning the page, moving on to the next one.
And could you imagine what the odds were to pick the Braves down 6-0 in the fourth inning?
I always think about that.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
It must have been crazy. And you see these comebacks all the time. And it was the Braves, too. Wasn't it the Braves just 2 weeks ago with the Reds?
Oh, yeah. They went back. It was eight runs. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just never know.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. I mean, they're facing the corpse of Carlos Carrasco. David Peterson's on the mound. They're finally hitting the baseball for the first time in consecutive nights. Yeah, I mean, to lose that game, it seemed unfathomable at that point.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. You got Kodai Senga tonight. He starts the rubber game. He's opposed by Bryce Elder, who carries a 6.12 ERA into this game. So you would think that would bode well for the Met offense, but we'll see. Senga, since returning from the hamstring injury, has completed five innings once across five starts, and he's pitched to an ERA in that span north of five. This will be another 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Now, the Mets are a game clear of the Reds for the final NL wildcard spot after Cincinnati took two out of three from the Phillies, including an 8-0 shutout Wednesday. They are off today. Next up for them will be a three-game home series with the scorching hot Milwaukee Brewers.
We don't lose.
Who beat the Pirates 12-5 for their 12th straight win. And here's how light things are for the Brewers last night. So Brandon Woodruff starts the game last night and admitted afterwards that he was quote-unquote nervous because a win was going to secure free burgers for the entire city of Milwaukee. So he was really feeling the pressure of that. Thankfully, they were able to deliver. So there you go. Free burgers for all of Milwaukee as they've won 12
consecutive
games.
That's some promotion right
there. Apparently, it goes back to like the 70s or something with some
local business.
And what is it,
a 12-game winning streak? Well, is that what it is?
I was reading quickly on it this morning. It started at like 17, and I guess over time it's come down a little bit.
Okay.
And they've hit it maybe, I don't know, two or three times in their history.
I finally figured out why Peter Schwartz drove to Milwaukee last night. I couldn't figure it out when I was watching his social media.
Did he? Is that... Are you just,
no, I'm not making it.
Oh, God, dude.
You never know, man. You never
yes,
know.
That's a bit extreme, though.
By the way, the Mets are holding the third NL wild card spot. Did you see who's now in the second wild card spot in the National League?
Who will leapfrog the Mets in this, as the second wild card?
No, they did not leapfrog. They've actually fallen back down.
They've fallen down.
We want to talk about teams that have hit hard times. The Dodgers.
The way you were setting that up, I was confused. Even though we talked about it in the original segment, I knew the answer, but for whatever reason, I was not jiving with... It was my fault, not yours.
Yeah, you know how that goes. You got the headset on out there. I'm getting the audio ready.
No, it's all good, yeah.
So, yeah. You got a lot of teams that have been up and down, winning streaks, losing streaks, struggles. The Dodgers have only won 12 of 33 games, I think, since the start of July. They were swept by the Angels in the Freeway Series. Which,
now, what happened with Shohei Ohtani? I saw the weirdest headline I'd even look
into.
Yeah,
I guess his current agent now, there's a lawsuit of some sort.
Investigation pending. Yeah.
Got a lot of sleazeballs around him, this guy.
Well,
is that what's going on there?
It seems like keeping
some weird company, or is he like...
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's the sleazeball. Who knows?
Weird company, yeah.
That's a strange thing, man. Like, especially after that first thing happening with the translator, you think all the guys that you'd have around you would be buttoned up.
Apparently not. Well, we'll see. It's a lawsuit. Sometimes those are fugazi, as you know.
True.
Let's go to the Bronx. Cam Schlittler gives you five innings of two-hit, one-run ball and 86 pitches. That was enough for him, apparently. On comes Yerry De Los Santos. He faced three batters and didn't get any of them out.
3-2 pitch. De Los Santos line driving in a gap right center field. All kinds of trouble. Buxton will cruise home. Kieschel to third. He's flying. He's going to get there. Oh. Grisham dropped the ball out there. Here's a throw from Jazz and sliding headfirst with a triple. Cody Clemens, he knocks in two.
That's Dave Sims here on the fan.
The McMahon play in that inning was interesting. Like, weird, right? It was a play you kind of expect him to.
Bloom's come off that rose a little bit since he first arrived.
Fair. That's fair.
Yep. That's the way it goes. So that was scored a double and an error on Grisham out there in center field. He just blatantly dropped the ball when he picked it up to throw it. But the Twins took a 3-1 lead on the play, played it another in that inning, and that was it. 4-1 final behind ace Joe Ryan, who worked 6 2/3, struck out 7 for his 12th win. Now, the Yanks did have a runner aboard in the 7th inning as they were trying to turn the lineup over, and the Twins brought in lefty Cody Funderburk to face fellow lefty Austin Wells.
This is Funderbunk. Is that what it is?
Is it bunk or?
I thought it was Funderbunk.
Is it bunk?
That's right.
Or bruh.
I saw it. Maybe
the thunder is the part that had me cracking
maybe,
up.
Yeah.
Let me just double check
that. That's like sounds like one of the series that Netflix puts on under the kids section. Like where they're
Funderbunk.
Yeah, put on Funderbunk, Dad.
Funderburk.
It's Funderburk.
You want to read it and say Funderbunk. I agree. Yeah. Like Funkhauser and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. But anyway. You would think good spot for Paul Goldschmidt to pinch hit because he kills lefties. Yeah. The problem is we found out he's got a knee sprain, could be headed to the IL. So all those righty swinging options for the Yankees are on the shelf right now.
And what happened to Ahmad Rosario?
Yeah, he crashed into the wall.
What the hell?
Shoulder. He's apparently going to miss the minimum time. Gosh. I think he's due back on the 19th, which is early next week.
Okay.
And that Austin Slater that they acquired had a hamstring.
He's done for the year,
pretty
isn't
much.
He?
Yeah. Yeah. So all those options is kind of
and the play that Goldschmidt gets hurt on, looks like nothing.
Yes, I didn't even honestly that play didn't stand out to me the night before, but but I did see him limping when he hit the double off the wall, and I was like, wow. Did he hurt himself coming out of the box? Because he was clearly laboring. He stayed in the game. He got to second, and you're thinking, oh, they might have to pinch run for him. But he stayed in the game. Obviously didn't play last night, didn't pinch hit.
And good to see Stanton hasn't died with playing the outfield.
Dude, he's been good.
Knock on wood.
I'm just saying. Knock on wood is right. I mean, he's hitting. We were talking about it with C-Mac. It's probably like the best regular season stretch he's put together as a Yankee.
Hard to argue.
Kind of saying something. Here's Goldschmidt hoping for the best to play against his former team, the Cardinals, this weekend in St. Louis.
I don't need extra motivation to try to heal. You know, I'll do everything I can, but, you know, hopefully we can go there and play well, and hopefully I'll get a chance to play there, and we can win.
They've got a day off ahead of a 3-game series with the Cards beginning tomorrow night. Then they've got 2 with the Rays next week at George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. And then it's back home for what should be a big 4-game series with the Red Sox. Yanks are 1.5 back of Boston for the second AL wildcard spot. They're 1 up on Cleveland for the final playoff berth. Tough night to lose because Texas, Seattle, Cleveland, Toronto, and Boston all lost, but as did the Yankees.
Well,
so not able
it would have been a tough time to lose if they all won, too, right?
That's true.
That is very true, yes. True. I mean, we'll call it a missed opportunity.
There you go.
How's that? Yeah. Missed opportunity spot.
The losing just sucks. Night.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Jets, Giants had joint practices while you guys were gone. Yeah. They were in Florham Park and then yesterday in East Rutherford, but kind of some of the sizzle taken out of it. Malik Nabers missed both days with this toe thing that is lingering to the point where, you know, Brian Daboll, when he was asked, does he need additional tests? He didn't really want to get into it. So read into that what you will. And then with him down, Sauce Gardner ended up missing practice yesterday with a calf injury. So a little bit of the sex appeal kind of taken out between the two teams.
And despite the lack of sex appeal, at least for today, training camp coverage on WFAN is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
Didn't know you had that read to get to.
Yeah.
My mistake.
No, it's okay.
Saturday, MetLife Stadium, Jets, Giants in the annual preseason tilt. Breece Hall yesterday was asked about a couple of other running backs around the league who came into the league around the same time as him. James Cook and Kyren Williams receiving new contracts, whereas Hall is about to play out the final year on his rookie deal.
Nah, because they've both done much more in this league than I have. You know, they've been in better situations, and they're both very good players, so... For me, it's obviously I feel like I'm just as talented as anyone, but you know those guys are really two really good running backs, and you know they deserve their payday, and they got what they deserved.
This is an interesting situation because there's like everyone's up on this Braylon Allen who had a very impressive rookie year, and he's a physical specimen. I mean, Breece Hall to me is still can be a home run hitter, game breaker, but it feels like he's kind of maybe starting to get lost in the shuffle here a little bit. I know he's had some injuries. Now you got a new head coach, new regime in. Contract about to expire. They didn't draft him. Tough spot for him.
Well, I mean, you laid it out perfectly. All of those reasons right there. And even though some of the top-of-the-top running backs are getting paid again, and you see James Cook and obviously the reward that Saquon Barkley got after the season that he had, I still think that a lot of general managers believe that unless you are one of the top four running backs in football, we can find another one of you somewhere else. And with the new regime stuff, I mean, everybody's on the table. I mean, that is one of the biggest things that I feel like doesn't get talked about enough is players continuing to get opportunities when they were drafted by the guy who is still there, as opposed to someone not getting enough opportunities because a new person came in and wants their own guys. For example, if Breece Hall were drafted by Darren Mooji, this wouldn't be a conversation. Yeah. Whereas Kayvon Thibodeau is drafted by Joe Shane and he gets, you know, they pick up his fifth year option. In any other situation, they probably wouldn't have done that after drafting Abdul Carter. So it just really is who is in charge and how much does that person like you?
And I think it was Hall a couple of weeks ago that said, I've done nothing for these guys. Like, I have to go prove it. So great attitude. He knows what's in front of him, and you hope he does it.
Proving ground for him, for sure. Last thing for this hour. So you've got the upcoming Cowboys Netflix documentary, which I guess debuts next week.
Yeah, I think the 19th, I think. I think Tuesday.
Okay.
I think.
So from that, apparently Jerry Jones revealing that he's dealt with stage 4 melanoma and that some sort of experimental trial drug essentially saved his life. So I know you've talked about, you guys have had some fun a little bit about him being closer to death.
He's the one that brings it up all the time.
Who's he?
Jerry.
Oh.
Jerry Jones is the one that always talks about his days me.
But then they like to have fun with you that you pointed it out. You know how that goes.
Yeah, no, I know.
Dead horse. Narratives and everything.
Yeah, I know.
So in any event, kind of an eye-opening admission from him. And he's certainly been in the news with everything that's gone on with Micah Parsons. Did you guys see Denzel Washington on ESPN?
I did not bring him now.
Yes. He went on. He and Spike Lee went on to promote some new movie they've got coming out, and Denzel was apparently a big Cowboy fan. Went after Jerry Jones pretty hard on ESPN.
Get in your ass.
He didn't say that, but yeah. I can play some of that for you.
Okay, yeah.
We did not play it yesterday. So, and I'll have some of the Taylor Swift stuff as well from the New Heights podcast. But I couldn't believe a 2-hour episode. That's a lot. It's a lot of time.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? People out there, the Swifties and Fleegs, are going to eat. That's 2 hours isn't enough
for them. I've run out of things for them to talk about for 2 hours.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We want to talk about the Yankees and Mets and the continued struggles. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. 888-808-1019. And I guess it makes you feel a little bit better that you see a team like the Dodgers struggling as well. And then at least that's what I was thinking when we were first talking about it. Then I'm like, you know what? They won the goddamn World Series last year.
Very true.
You know, it's like it's a little bit different. I understand a fan base gets greedy and they want it every single year and everything else. I'm sure the Dodger fans are saying, hey, you know, we should be better than this. How can we be behind the Padres at this point? But if you're a Mets fandom that hadn't seen a championship since 86 and a Yankees fandom that, of course, has got more than anybody and hadn't seen one since 2009, you know, it feels worse when you feel like you've got one of the best teams in baseball than all of a sudden falls off the face of the earth.
I completely agree. And when you look at a team that was 20 games, 21 games over 500, you expected them to be where the Brewers are right now and not with a monster 12-game winning streak, just that they would continue to play consistent baseball, and they haven't. And, you know, I think at the end of the year, and I still do think they'll make the playoffs, but right now it's a big if. You know, you're only one game clear at this point. You know, at the end of the year, and forget the postseason for now, you'll look back and Juan Soto's numbers will be fine. I mean, and they'll be good for a lot of major leaguers. But it feels empty. Like, all right, he hits the home run last night. They're winning 6-0. They wind up losing the game. There's also a spot in that game where he's got, you know, two guys on, two out, and he strikes out. You know, and I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all, but there have been so many spots for him. The CBS Sports Network is showing it there in the fifth. Like, there's been too many of these opportunities where he's had times to, and I know the new word that we use with him is to impact the game, but it's true. And there's been, they're calling him Juan Solo for a reason. Last night was not a solo home run, so props to him for that. But it just hasn't worked the way it worked last year with the Yankees. Now, his year in San Diego wasn't great either. And again, great for him, because that's the bar, is him. What you're expecting when you pay a guy $50 million a year and you sign him for 100 years. And I do expect it to get better. And if they're in the postseason, I expect a better version of him. But it's just been, the whole season's been weird, top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as bad to me as what Pete Alonso went through in clutch situations last year. That was
agreed.
That was really, really bad. I mean, if you looked at the numbers at the end of the year, they were okay for Pete, but it was still his worst offensive year. We're not getting Juan Soto's worst offensive year, but it's just, it's one of those deals where, man, if you had signed him for $400 million as opposed to $765 million, it wouldn't be one of these situations where every single time he gets up with runners in scoring position, he's got to get him home.
You're expecting a big at-bat from him.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I asked you right now, you know, blindly, give me his big moments this year. There's not a lot of them. There really aren't. I'm not saying he hasn't hit well. Yeah, he's got almost 30 home runs. That's what I'm saying, but it feels empty.
Yeah, that 2-home run game when they were just at the beginning of their struggles, that was the most recent thing I can tell you.
But nothing pops. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
not like that, you know, when they were, you know, that walk-off. Well, he had that walk-off hit, that single. Well, it was that game-winning hit. And then Al came in and said he wasn't impressed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the base hit up the middle that I didn't think. And then the caller said it was 100, the hardest hit ball of the night or whatever. That's true.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is,
no, you're right, because I'm sitting here thinking
struggling
about it. Yeah, I mean, and there are moments, and there might be one that I'm forgetting, but, I mean, with all the games and moments that we consume, it should be,
top of mind. I understand it was in the postseason, but I give you his Yankee one.
Of course you can.
Right away, obviously in the ALCS, but yeah.
And he has that opportunity in front of him. I'm not saying he doesn't. It just, like I say, it feels very, very empty. Like, he's got 30 home runs, essentially. I think he's only got 66 RBIs.
Yeah.
Like, Pete Alonso's got 100 RBIs.
I know, and it tells you right there. That's where the Juan Solo thing comes from. John and Tom's River. What's going on, John?
Gentlemen, welcome back, man. I tell you, every picture I saw out there, I was so jealous. It looked great.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? Pictures don't do it justice, John, man. I'm telling you. What do you got on?
I could imagine, but two things, too, though, man. You guys got to work out your schedules a little better, because I took a whole week off to listen to Spotify while you were gone.
Well, I mean, people have their listening habits. You know, we got great part-timers around here. So, listen, there'll be a time coming up where the schedule will be the schedule, and we're going to be here every single day, September, October, November, most of December. So now's the time to take a breather.
There you go. But listen, I'm a big Yankee fan, but I always tune in the Mets because it's kind of comical to me. I can't imagine a team with all this talent, overpriced athletes, and it's just like, what are they doing? I just can't believe they play this bad. It's unbelievable.
I agree with you. You can't believe what you're watching on a nightly basis. Like, the idea, like, the one thing, you know, you don't expect every team, you know, even if it's a well-put-together roster, to go, you know, 110-52. I mean, that's obviously would be worldly. You don't expect every team to win 100 games. But I didn't think that this team would struggle to win 90 games. And right now, I don't know that they're getting there.
Yeah, and there's really nothing that makes you feel like you can't compete worse than really bad pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're right.
Because I can make a case that when a team is in a funk offensively, you know, it really just takes one hit in
to break out of it.
To break out of it, win a game. You could have great pitching, win a game, 1-0, 2-1, whatever.
Sure.
But nothing in baseball makes you feel like your team stinks worse, more than a rotation or a bullpen that can't get outs. And you can watch a 6-0 lead evaporate in front of your eyes in mere seconds.
And it's so interesting, too, as last night would be a microcosm of what you're talking about, because the first couple of innings, all they were talking about was how Carlos Carrasco looks done. And then Ron was talking about his time, I guess it was in Oakland, where he was really struggling to get outs. He was thrown to an ERA of 6, and you just felt like the 8 guys behind you were looking at you like, you know, you're not doing your job, and you felt awful about it. And then Keith is talking about how depressed he was the day he realized his skills were at a point where he couldn't compete. And I'm not saying that's these guys by any stretch, but you have zero confidence right now with anybody that goes on the mound for this team, and that is a problem, a major problem.